Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast, Pete Thamel is with the Bull and the Fox. Pete, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. How are you?
Crazy times, right? I mean,
good, Pete.
A lot of nutty stuff going on. College football, maybe the biggest hotbed of crazy stuff going on. And, you know, what's been going on with the Big Ten has been just wild. And now we had this hot mic situation with the Nebraska president today. Supposedly an announcement tonight. Who knows? What is the latest you can tell us, Pete, on what the Big Ten might announce, if anything, tonight? And what you think, what are your best guesses at this point as to when they may play?
I haven't been able to pin down anything on timing of announcement. There's a general undercurrent of optimism throughout the league that the Big Ten is going to return. And that, you know, began Saturday, Sunday, and has kind of swept up the past couple days. But even like, you know, coaches don't know right now. You know what I mean? They're kind of frozen. They have plans in place. They all think it's going to happen. They've all been kind of given general indicators, but there's been nothing to me that says there's a meeting at this time, a vote at this time. Here's what's going to happen. Here's where all the final step. We're basically on the cusp of learning this news that we all expect, but I guess if there's anything to, you know, don't count on the Big Ten for coming through if they've taught us anything this last 6 weeks or so.
Pete, I missed you in Mobile, buddy.
Oh man, you can't imagine Mobile without me, can you?
It's I can't. I mean, I had to get the pork chop at Dumbwaiter in honor of Pete Thamel, and
it was fantastic.
It is. It was a fun week. It was weird, you know, doing the game, and it was fun to have college football back. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how can these guys do this? The American Conference, the Sun Belt, that was the conferences that I was working on Saturday night, of course, and the Big Ten can't. And, you know, here we are. How much do you think media, the pressure, the parents, and all this stuff have played into it, as well as obviously the medical and the science, which is a big part of this as well?
You know, I think there's a confluence of factors that have led the Big Ten to this point, right? And that confluence of factors is outside pressure. I just think a full slate of games on Saturday was a visceral pressure, right? Like, you felt that. Like, Notre Dame's playing Duke in your footprint, and you're not playing. I do think there are legitimate medical answers, including the daily rapid testing, that we didn't have 4 or 5 weeks ago, 5, 6 weeks ago, whenever this was, August 11th, I guess, is the right date for that. Like, there are, you know, the Big Ten's really going to have to nail the messaging on this, right? Because they certainly didn't nail it last time, as I'm sure you guys spent hours discussing after August 11th. And I really think what they are going to have to do in painstaking terms, and quite frankly, to cover themselves from liability standpoint, is they're going to have to lay out why it's different now than before and why they voted differently. Because ultimately, like, the people making this decision, you know, are in charge of multi-billion-dollar campuses. That football, while a multi-billion-dollar business, is really only like a couple percent of their massive, massive operations. And so they need to feel good and go to their constituents and say, this is why we changed. This is what's here. And there's also a CYA aspect of that, too, if, God forbid, something does happen to one of these players.
I will say that if any of these parents that were going to do one of these dopey lawsuits or that were going to protest, if anything happens to the player, I don't want to hear about a lawsuit. I would throw it out of court, you know. But that being said, that's my own personal opinion. But, Pete,
That's not your legal opinion. That's not from that's not from a textbook somewhere.
No, definitely not. I'm just saying, like, I've said again, I've said consistently, Pete, that they should play. I've just found a little frustration. The Big Ten screwed this up. There's no doubt about it. The message they put out originally, they did not explain it clearly. They should, at the very least, they just should have said, we're going to delay it for now. We'll get back to you soon. At the very least, they should have said that instead of saying we're not going to play in the fall. I just have been a little bothered by this idea that ultimately the leagues that aren't playing owe the explanation more than the ones that are. That being said, I'm happy that they're trending towards maybe going back playing. And, you know, because obviously things have changed in terms of rapid testing and the ability to do that. Hopefully they have more information on this myocarditis or whatever it is. I'm sure that's factored in as well. Mm-hmm. And if they do get back to playing, then we can get away from this awful debate about whether they should play or not, you know, I think.
Yeah. And look, I didn't think we'd be here. In mid-July, there was a lot of pessimism, and I wrote it and talked about it on your show, that we'd have football, that we'd have college football this fall. And there were a lot of, you know, key constituents who felt that way. And, you know, we were 60% of college football was, you know, has been canceled. And if you go through all the divisions, it's really, you know, that number's probably more like 80, 85%, something like that. But I think the Big Ten panicked a little bit, and they had the right plan set up. And then they rushed a decision. They could have sat and waited, and they didn't feel comfortable doing that. Nobody's really adequately explained why, but it was probably because the presidents didn't want to take the risk, right? Like,
yes.
You know, college presidents are risk averse humans, right? Like, they're in charge of these huge multi-billion-dollar corporations, and their job is to not screw it up. And at that time, that to them felt like a safe decision.
Pete Thamel's with us. Pete, if the Big Ten decides tonight to come back, how soon do you think they could be playing games? And if they come back at a certain, is there a certain time? I guess the question is there a certain time where they can get themselves in position to compete for the college football playoff?
So obviously, the October 17th date has been bandied around for a while. I have not been told for certain that is the date, but I think that was the date that they were going to vote on, and I guess that's the date I expect right now, but and that does theoretically give time for a conference title game and then a college football playoff, potential appearance by a team in the Big Ten, because I believe the Big Ten title game would be on the December 19th, and then you know is the playoff we assume could accommodate at that point, mm-hmm. and you could have it back and. You know, in playing by then. So, this is really like a full Monty save if it comes through as we expect it to in the next 24 hours here.
Pete, you think if the Big Ten decides to come back, will the Pac-12 follow suit?
I don't. Just because you can't play in California right now. Like, you can't practice. Like, it's my understanding, like, this week at USC and UCLA, unless something's changed in the last few days, like, they could only work out in like socially distanced groups of 10 or 12. So can't play football that way. So the local and state regulations have always been really one of the things that's driven a lot of these decisions.
Right.
Pete, you talk about a calendar with the Big Ten. I can't remember the exact date you said in December, but is that, the original new schedule was going to be, what, 10 games? Is it now 8, or is that still 10 weeks? And is it 10 weeks and 10
so
straight weeks?
If it starts the 17th, my understanding is it's 8 with a bye. So it's 9 weeks, 8 with a bye. And you'd be smart to have a bye, right?
Like, yes.
Look what issues are going to arise, right? Look at, I saw Dave Aranda quoted this week saying, we're getting ready for our third opening game opponent right now.
Yeah.
You know, they were going to play Ole Miss, and then they were going to play La Tech, and now they're playing Houston.
Right.
So forgive me. Things are changing quickly. That is college football in 2020. And I don't think there was an embrace of that by a lot of people, you know, that it was going to be like Major League Baseball sort of sputtering for a while, but eventually folks got around to it. And here we are on the cusp of playing. I mean, from August, I think it was 18th or 19th when the Big Ten said, we will not revisit this decision. Right? Like they screamed from the mountaintop, like, we're addressing a week of rancor, pissed off parents and everything, and we will not revisit this decision. I mean, it's 3+ weeks later, and they've not only revisited it, but they've reversed it, or on the cusp of reversing it, I should say. It appears, and there's confidence that they're going to reverse it, but I do not have that confirmed right now.
Pete, what was your main takeaway from this past full slate of college football weekend?
I'm looking forward to some better matchups. You probably had the best game of the day in terms of competitive game. That game in UTSA and Texas State. You got Tulane's great comeback in lovely Mobile. We knew it was going to be bad ball, right? If you don't practice, you're not going to play well. If your special teams are bad, it's been bad ball. I hope it gets better. And look, like, it's college football. We weren't expecting Chiefs Rams brilliance, all right? But like, there's been general sloppiness, and I think the expectation is that it's going to be a mess week to week. K-State's going to be missing chunks of players. Arkansas State was down 9 starters and they lost. Like, it is going to – it is the dumbest year to
– How about Georgia Southern without 33 players?
Yeah, Georgia Southern down 30, down 33. Oklahoma was down 19-20. For God's sakes, don't bet on college football this year. And if you do, put your bet in, 3 minutes before kick.
Yeah.
It's going to be complete chaos. I do think if the Big Ten comes back, daily rapid testing is going to be part of it. And daily rapid testing, the NFL has shown us in its sample this weekend, can be really effective. It doesn't obviously eliminate the virus, but it limits the spread of the virus. That's what the daily rapid testing has done all along. And that's what guys like Matt Rhule, Mike Vrabel, and some of our NFL coaches that I know that are college guys have told me. It essentially helps protect and keep your program in a bubble-like environment. So with daily rapid testing, I think we may see a little bit less of just the swaths of roster getting wiped out. And I can see the Big Ten using that as their pitch. We're going to be the safest. This is how it's going to work. They're going to have to scream from the mountaintop about what's different. And I think that argument, it makes sense that it's going to be predicated on daily rapid testing.
Pete, great insight as always, man. We appreciate the time. Everybody check out the Yahoo Sports College podcast. We appreciate it. Thank you, Pete.
Hey, thank you, guys. Always good to catch up.
You too. Pete Thamel.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.